So how is everyone? Hope you're doing well. I always find, do you find scripture intriguing? Is scripture intriguing for you? It doesn't have to be. Depends on your personality. I find it intriguing. This morning in my quiet time, reading from Mark 4, and Mark records that, so Jesus told some stories in the forms of parables, and that he told many. And Mark goes, here is one of them. And I paused and I went, hold on, why didn't Mark tell us all of them? So what other stories did you tell? So I asked Jesus, I said, what other stories did you tell that we don't know about? Just wondering. It was just, you know, you get what you get. I just found that interesting that there's others. Wouldn't you love to know what other stories Jesus told? I think it'd be great. I'd love to hear that. Anyway, that has nothing to do with what we're going to be talking about this morning and what we're going to be participating in. As you know, for January, Vineyard Canada has called for, across the nation, a time of fasting and prayer. And it's particularly for the pastors and leaders, but for the churches to join in as well in this. And some have asked, so what is all this? Why are we doing this? Which is, it's a good question. Because sometimes you think you've communicated and it doesn't get picked up, or it's misunderstood, or it's not communicated clear enough. But let me give a brief explanation of why we're having a season this month of fasting and prayer. For a number of decades now, our culture here in Canada, but around the world, and especially in the Western world, there's always shifts that take place. If you're young, if you're a teenager in your 20s, you don't really notice it because you think the world revolves around you. But as you get on, I know, I'm just poking the bear. The bear is grouchy, see? But over the last four or five decades, the shift within the culture with regards to gender and sexuality has slowly been taking place. And in Canada, because we are a multicultural nation, we embrace, I say our nation embraces all religions and all people groups. There's a high call or a high priority on equal rights. And that all culminated in 2005, especially with regards to gender and sexuality of marriage, same-sex marriage being legalized in Canada. So the discussion within our nation has been going on for quite some time, and the church is not so much. That's unfortunate, in my opinion. I think the church should have been ahead of the game and been having the conversations for some time, rather than reacting to when something comes down the pipe. But be that as it may, churches, all denominations have had to talk about this and address it, because within our congregations we have people who identify as LGBTQ and people who are followers of Christ, and it needs to be addressed. I know we'd like to talk about all the happy, positive stuff, but these conversations are needed, because otherwise if you don't talk about it, it's dysfunctional. A healthy family, a healthy organization has the difficult conversations. And so we have been doing that. It started in 2000, well, it started actually about 5-6 years ago. And in 2018, they started talking about doing what was called roundtables. And in the fall of 2019, we actually engaged in that. Roundtable discussions were all done online. And it was a teachings for 10 weeks. There was teachings, and there was reflective questions that were asked that, you know, people responded to. And so we did that. There was hopes. Everybody has a hope that we're going to come to a point where we all agree, we all see things the same way. That's always the hope, that we see things the same way. What this revealed, and what we all knew but we never said and we never spoke, was we all see things differently. We all understand scripture differently, and not in a huge different ways, but just different perspectives on stuff. And we came to the end of the 10 weeks going, gosh, we do see things differently. And no one's really changing their mind on where they are at. Conversations, for the most part, were very cordial and very polite. And so, but we came to this place where, I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your life, but you come to a place where you go, I don't know what the answer is. Like, I don't know what we, when I say we, across Canada, do as a vineyard. What do we do? Now what? We've opened the discussion, but we haven't come to a conclusion. Now what? And that's that place of, so where do we go from here? And part of me, this realization came to me just in the last couple of weeks, because in one point, it's you know, I want to use the word fearful, but not fearful, but it's like, so what now? What are we going to do? Right? But in the last week or two, I've come to the place where this is what I think. It feels like, it's feeling, okay? It's the worst of times. Feels like it's the worst of times for Vineyard Canada, because we seem to be at a, between a rock and a hard place, don't know what to do. And then it dawned on me, no, this is the best of times. You know why? There's something beautiful when you come to the end of yourself and you don't have a clue what to do. You know why? There's been so much prayer. So many people being forced to lean into God and to go, God, I don't know what to do. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? It's the worst of times. It's the best of times. It's just the way it is. It feels like it's the worst of times, but I really do believe it's the best of times. And I believe our prayers, how I describe them, is they're naked prayers. We have nothing to offer to God. We have, like, in the sense of because truth be told, a lot of times we come to God with, hey, God, here's the answer to this prayer we're praying to you about. Can you answer it this way, please? At least I do anyway. At times I've caught myself doing that, right? And it's coming to God going, God, I don't have an answer. We don't have an answer, Father. All we know is all we can do is look into you. All we can do is lean into you. All we can do is just hope in you, put our hope in you. We want your will, whatever that looks like. And we need you to speak to us. We need you to help us as we look to see what the future is calling us to. And so that's why we've been praying. That's why we've been praying and fasting. And all of our prayers are, oh God, oh God, oh God. Right? That's what they are. That's what they are. We don't, like, it's not that we're not panicked or anything. You know, again, I was reading in Mark 4 when Jesus and the disciples were out in the boat and the storm came up, right? Sometimes we're like the disciples, right? Hey, what are you doing? Sleeping. Don't you see we're going to drown? And Jesus goes, be still, speaking to the storm. Then he asked them a question. Why are you so afraid? You got no faith? Where's your faith? And I think he's asking us that. I do. I think he's asking the leaders that. Why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? You say you have faith. Probably one of the best stories in Scripture that speaks to this, if you've ever been in this place in your life, and if you haven't, where you don't have an answer, you will. At some point, you will. And it's the best of times. Because you lean into God. You lean into God. In Exodus, the Israelites, they were enslaved 400 years in Egypt. God raised up Moses. I want you to set my people free. Help go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And you know the story. Finally, Pharaoh agrees. Okay, go, get out. Pack your bags, get out of here. You know, hundreds of thousands of people go to leave. They're getting there, and all of a sudden Pharaoh goes, what did I do? not letting them go. Sends his army after them. Go get them. They come to the Red Sea. And what do they hear? Who knows what that sound must have sounded like? I don't know how many horses, chariots, whatever, were coming their way. And their response? It wasn't, let's drop to our knees and pray and trust God. No, it was, Moses, we're going to kill you right now because look what you've done. We could have just stayed where we were instead of you trying to, we're going to get delivered out of here. Now we're going to get killed. Panic ensued. Mayhem. What do we do? And Moses, what does he say? He says, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. We know the rest of the story. Well, that's speaking to what you see when Jesus went to the cross is that word that's called trust. When you don't know the answer, you lean on God and you trust. You trust. You trust. It's not that you have an answer. It's not that you see what it's all going, how it's all going to work out. You trust God is what it comes down to. You come before God with a naked prayer. Just, God, here I am. I have no answer. I don't know what to do, but I'm trusting you. Because here's the question. Is there anywhere else we can go? Can we go anywhere else? Can you go anywhere else? Where else are you going to go? That's why it's the best of times, because it calls us to lean and trust in him. It's actually the best of times, because that's where you do get to see God do his thing. All denominations, all churches who have gone into these conversations, typically what tends to happen is splits take place, or you hear people say, if it doesn't go this way, I'm leaving, I'm checking out. And in my humble opinion, I think when we do that, we check out and what we miss out on is seeing God come and rescue and answer and see what he's going to do. We don't like being in those uncomfortable places. Why? Because we like to be in control. Don't like to not have control. And by making that decision or any of that posture, that's a position of control. It's not actually a position of trust that we will stand, we'll remain calm. At the end of the day, that's what we're called to do, to stand still, remain calm, and trust God. We say we want to see you move. There's even an old Vineyard song, say, we will stand back and let you move, stand back and see what God will do. It's a great song. So we're going to go into a time of prayer. I've asked Pam Windsor, who heads up our Thursday night corporate prayer gathering, if she could lead us in a time of prayer. This is the most valuable thing we can do, is pray. Because prayer is a posture. Prayer is a statement that says, we have nowhere else to lean into but you, God. We only have you. So, Pam, do you want to come up?
So, at the beginning of the week, as I was going to lead this time of prayer, I just saw a picture of our whole nation, like on a map. And I just felt like the Lord wanted us to pray across the country. So I'm just going to explain to you how we're going to do that so that everybody is clear about what's going on and nobody's wondering what's happening next. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to spend four and a half minutes praying quietly for each region of our country. So on those slides is a list of the vineyards as well as a list of the pastoral couples or leader who are leading that vineyard. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is just pray, ask what the Holy Spirit, maybe a certain vineyard or a certain pastoral couple will come to your mind as you see the name appear on the screen, to just silently pray for that, whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. And if the Lord gives you something, like a verse or a picture or I don't know, whatever, however the Holy Spirit speaks to you, I would encourage you please to keep track of that and write it down. And if you could possibly submit that to Scott S. Rowe at CVCF dot whatever, you can CA, oh gosh, okay, such not a technical person. So if you could submit that to Scott and he can kind of collect all those, because I think if we're praying as a nation for God to speak, God speaks through people, and so he speaks through us. And a lot of times you might get something that seems a bit disjointed, but how do you know that that does not connect with something that the Holy Spirit may be weaving throughout the country and through the people in our nation? Father, I just thank you that you have called us as a body, that you have created us to hear your Holy Spirit, that you have called us as a community together to seek, hear what your heart is for our nation and for our vineyards. And Father, we just want to ask, I just pray as we spend time silently praying over these different churches and pastoral couples, Lord, we just thank you for their service. We know that many maybe feel lonely or separated. We just want to pray, God, that you would bring a unity of heart and agreement across our nation. And so, Lord, we thank you and we invite you to come.
Holy Spirit, we just ask that you come alongside the leaders and the members of the churches in British Columbia this morning. Draw their eyes to the mountains if they're within their view, and remind them that you made them. Remind them of the majesty that they walk past every morning and they don't pay attention to. Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts and show them and reveal to them that you are bigger, you are broader, you are higher, and you are deeper. And specifically, I just want to lift up that community in British Columbia, and God, where there are churches who need to reach out to the next closest vineyard church, just build those bridges and tear down those walls. Build the BC Vineyard community today.
Pray this for the whole Ontario region as well as for ourselves. Our Father, who's in heaven, we pray that your name would be hallowed, that we would recognize that holiness is who you are. We pray that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done in the Ontario Vineyard churches, in our church, in our lives, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us all today our daily bread. Help us to feed on you, Lord Jesus, because you are the bread of life. You are our nourishment, our sustainer, our life. Forgive us our sins, our debts we owe to you, our trespasses, as we've forgiven everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Do not lead us through trials so deep that they would tempt us to be unfaithful to you, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the victory that you've won over sin, evil, and the evil one through your death on the cross and your mighty resurrection. And so we ask all this in the precious holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who with the Holy Spirit pray for us at the Father's right hand. Amen.
Father, we just thank you for our vineyards that are represented in the Atlantic provinces, God. We thank you, Father, for how they love and nurture each other and love and nurture their communities of faith and their communities that they live in. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you provide them and give to them with such a unique heart, not only for their communities, but for each other. And I'd just like us to take a couple minutes just to pray for our Quebec vineyard, our one vineyard that's in the province of Quebec and Montreal. Let's just take a couple minutes to pray for that vineyard, and then we'll go on to praying for our foundation team. Thank you for our Quebec vineyard, Lord. Thank you for Matt and Dean, who labor so wonderfully in the city of Montreal. And Lord, we just pray for this province, God, that you would move, that you would awaken hearts to the truth of the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, not just any empty religious faith, but God, that you would come alive in the places where your name is named. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the great weight of your glory that rests on these people who lead our vineyard across the nation. Father, we pray that the responsibility that they feel and the decisions that they make and all of these things that we have discussed, that have been discussed over the last number of months, Lord, we pray, God, for your heart and your wisdom. Father, we pray that there would be a balance of mercy and justice and grace and love. Father, we pray that you would lead us, God, that we would continue to lead into you, that they would continue to lead into you. We thank you for David and Anita, Lord. We thank you for their passion for the church in Canada and their passion for you. Lord, we pray, God, that you would speak through your church, through your vineyards all across our nation. Lord, that the voice of your Spirit would bring such unity and such healing Lord, our nation needs you. We need you, Lord. We need you. We need you, God. We need you, Lord. In some ways, it's like the ground cries out to be healed even, Lord. We think of our native people, and we think of just the years of just brokenness that happened in those situations, God. And we just ask your forgiveness, Holy Spirit, and your blessing. We praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.